Blog Talk Radio.
Grew up on the Southern Shore, Louisiana, now they ain't no more. Kicking mud up off a crawfish hole, barefooted with a fishing pole. Make a living with my own two hands. Yeah, it's part of being who I am. Gone back into the oil field. That's the only way to pay our bills. If I'm lucky, I could have a son. Take him hunting like his daddy done. Get him working on a fishing boat. Up and down the Gulf of Mexico. Living dead out on the deep sea rig, doing what it is they had to live. All bleeding from a gaping hole. Up and down the Gulf of Mexico. Morgan City out the Mobile Bay. Past the cooler down to LA. Still I'm stuck out here for seven more. Watching everything turn black on shore. Brother, he ain't feeling well. Son, what you spraying on that old spill? How many of us gonna lose our lives? So the people get to work on time. And tell the banker I don't want a loan. Send them lawyers back to where they from. Even Jesus couldn't save his soul. Put me back out on my fishing boat. TV, they done capped the well. Said it's just another oil spill. The way of life won't be around no more. All I wanted was to go back home. Yeah, we're gonna have to clean the place. Leave with something more than toxic waste. Killing everything before it grows. Up and down the Gulf of Mexico. Kicking mud up off a crawfish hole. Barefooted with a fishing pole. Gone back into the oil field. That's the only way to pay our bills.
In a nutshell, huh? That was Drew Landry's BP Blues. You're listening to Here Be Monsters, one of the drumline of small radio shows boycotting the liars of the NSM and providing the people with an alternative media choice, speaking truth to power. Before I introduce or even get my guests on today, I would like to take a moment to remind all here that on Here Be Monsters today, we are Egypt again. Hey, I am the daughter of Isis, remember. Over 37 were killed in Tahrir Square in the last 3 days. This is not a global revolution. It is a global evolution. Not a revolution, it's an evolution. And we are all the family of Mother Earth, all brothers and sisters in good health, the good health of our communities and our homes, planet Earth. If we ever needed a return of Might for Right. It's about now, guys. Here Be Monsters dedicates all broadcasts to the peacefully driven Occupy movement worldwide in solidarity, because we are the 99%. Our relationship with our Earth Mother is the center of our guest's message today, and we've got them lined up and they're calling in. We have more than one, including our good friends Cherie Foytland and Anita Stewart and the good folks of Operation People for Peace, who are focused on healing the Gulf states, the Gulf region of America, healing the people and bringing back their stories to all of us. People are dying of the disease because of the deadly mix of Corexit and poison with crude that's now embedded in the Gulf Coast region and through our states down here. Operation People for Peace is a group out of, I believe they are out of Pensacola. And it's a Herculean task, bringing the issue up and getting in. And we're going to listen to everybody today. I think we have our first caller, which would be Cherie. And we'll find out where it stands right now. Oh, goodness. Okay, well, if you're listening there, I'm trying to open the mic. Hello, Cherie?
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm pretty good. A little tired. We had a benefit concert yesterday in New Orleans, and then last night we ran out to Mississippi when trying to document some of the people that are sick, and also some we're having some genetic mutations on seafood, and so we're getting some documentation on that. So that should be coming out fairly quickly, probably right after Thanksgiving by the time I get home and get everything settled.
Wow. That's a lot. I've been hearing and I've seen a few pictures. I know Trish Springsteen and a few other people have been trying to catalog a few of these things. What kind of mutations?
Well, when I did my walk back in April, I just happened to be walking through Barataria Bay, and had some fishermen come out to meet me, and they were telling me that they were catching fish with no eyes that were still alive, you know, and they had pictures. But they also had crabs in hand that had burn holes in them. And that was back in April. So we've known since then that something was up. And of course, if you look at the research, you know, genetic mutation is a part of that Corexit and crude oil mix. They had it in Exxon. And so we knew it was possible, even in humans. And so, but what we're seeing now is unprecedented numbers. I think they caught 35 pounds of shrimp with no eyes. And I saw today crabs with lungs on the outside of their bodies.
Oh, dear.
And, yeah, the burn holes still are fairly common in the shrimp and crabs. And then they're also telling me that the catch is extremely low. That, you know, out of 180 pods they put out, these crabbers that I was talking to, great people, all been sick. Of the 180, you know, they caught like 100 pounds, which is nothing. Like, you can't live off of that. Only to pay for the gas, you know, to go out. So not
right.
Start talking about what's there and living is, you know, maybe catching the last of what's left. But besides, and they have issues. But besides that, there's not enough for our fishermen to catch to make a living off of. And the really aggravating part about that is just last week, BP came and said they were ready to close down their operations out here, and the Coast Guard said that was fine for them to do that. Louisiana refused to sign off on that, and I'm pretty proud of my state about that, because there's still fresh oil coming in. I mean, they have 9 vessels right out there at the DWH site right now at the Macondo Hole as we speak. What are they doing out there? We don't know. We do know that there's a C-130 is flying over every day, and people are speculating that they're still spraying dispersant out there because it's part of the Coast Guard plan to spray dispersant. They're not doing anything differently, but and they're getting the same results, but they're they're closing everything down. They're closing down the Gulf Coast claims facilities. You know, at this point, well, heck, we got people that haven't even received interim claims. You know, they're what they're doing is they're starving people out to the point where this lady I talked to yesterday, she was 12 days away from losing her house and tried to get her payment, and they hadn't paid her. So she finally just had to take the $25,000 final claim, sign off on her health. Now, her husband, she's ridiculously sick. Her little boy sick, has asthma, can't even go outside anymore. They've had respiratory issues, stomach issues, and her mother lives with her, and she's sick. And then she has her little granddaughter that's been on 9 rounds of antibiotics in 15 months. And still, when I was there today, she's got the croup coughing and a running fever and sick again, you know. She's 18 months old. She's been sick for 15 months of her life.
Oh,
you know?
Sheree, wow. And then now tell me, what I realize that there are plans and there are plans, but what way are you all walking towards accountability? There's got to be accountability, and I know that's your direction with the groups that you're working with, and certainly I guess with the folks that will be calling in from Operation People for Peace. How do you address accountability?
Yeah, Operation People for Peace is great. Reverend Rocker's been awesome. Mr. Dick Gregory's been great. We were up in D.C. with them last week, and we met with several the staffs of several congressmen. And there are people within the government that's on our side that's you know, working to get things done. There's a Congressman Nadler. He tried to introduce an anti-disbursement bill last year. And it made it to the House, but it failed in the Senate, of course. And he's really, really good, but he really is, you know, believe it or not, government oversight, Senator Issa, like, and he, you know, he's a staunch Republican, but, I mean, he knows what's going on. They put out a actually fairly well-balanced report last year that didn't go anywhere, you know, just sat there, but
man.
He addressed health in the report. Look, I was watching this video not too long ago, and it was like a month. It was a month after the spill with Keith Olbermann, and then it also had it had the congressional hearings on. It was kind of a montage of, you know, what happened about a month out, and Carl Safina told at a congressional hearing, he told them that there was going to be health problems from this spill, and Dr. Steiner from Exxon told them there was going to be health problems from this spill. And BP, from their own blood that they took of people that were cleaning up the spill, 20% of those people had elevated levels of 2, and I'm saying it wrong, but it's butoxyethanol, but I'm absolutely saying it wrong, I'm butchering that. But the point is, that's a carcinogen. And at that time, BP, by their own accord, had 20% of their cleanup workers had 10 times. They had 10 parts per million elevated levels. Now, SAFE is 5 parts per million. They said that. They knew that. And it's airborne, and they knew that too.
Yeah.
And yet they still refused for people to wear respirators that Louisiana Environmental Action Network was going to provide for people for free because it looked bad on the TV. You see?
Well, and
so,
it's blown off the water.
Yeah. Inland. But the point is, it really doesn't matter how much information we get out there or how many tests that we put out. They're still going to do what they're going to do unless there's some sort of political will to make them change the way they're reacting. And that's going to require large amount of people understanding the truth and standing up and saying, well, you know, we're more valuable than this. I'm not going to let little children. I'm telling you, I'm looking at pictures of little kids with lesions all over their body.
No.
From the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Kids with asthma, kids that are having to use nebulizers. I'm about to go down to Empire today to meet with a friend of mine that he says he has to use a rescue inhaler 3 times an hour just to breathe, and he never had these problems before this spill. I mean, people with pre-existing conditions right now as we speak are having death-like, you know, issues come up, symptoms. And the divers, I know of at least 3 divers that dove into that stuff that are on their deathbed right now. And then also cleanup workers. The cleanup workers, I have another friend, Andre. A lot of people know Andre Gaines. He was with us at Power Shift. He wanted to go with us back to D.C. He ended up in the hospital for 3 days. He lost 22 pounds in 5 days, and nobody can figure out why. I mean, he moved. He's in Tennessee right now trying to get better. But the point is, if they knew that people were going to get sick from this and actually had the data to show that people were already being affected chemically, at least, by this, and then they still did it, and then the Coast Guard backed it up, and then the government didn't, or a large part of the government, at least the administration, in silence, didn't change anything or make anything happen, well, then they're responsible for potentially murdering a certain population of the United States, which is I don't even know what to call that. It's more than an injustice. It's disgusting.
Genocide. It's genocide.
Basically, you're looking, the only way to get, and I know a large part of this is economic justice, and that means environmental justice, and I know that you have I really want to hear you talk about the human rights aspect of a clean environment, too, because that, I think, resonates so clearly and loudly.
Well, see, that's the whole issue, is it's all tied together. And I feel like at this point we've got to draw that bigger picture on the board and show people and explain to people how, you know, first of all, clean air and water is a human right to all men. I mean, whether you believe in God or you believe in the universe as it stands, it was given to us. We're the only ones that we know of that are here and able to take advantage of it, so it belongs to us. We can say that's for certain, right? So,
yeah.
And even the UN mandated that clean water was a human right to all people. Now, at the same time,
right.
You can say that our civil rights are being abused in it. You know, Kenneth Feinberg and the GCCF not taking care. You have to have a right to commerce, to be able to take care of yourself. That's a civil right. And that starts being our education. Our children rely a lot on tax dollars, especially in Alabama, tourism tax dollars, to get a proper education. And that's been taken away from them because of the state of the tourism industry. So all of this is coming together, but it's not just us. When I went to D.C., I've said this before, I went through town after town that was dealing with uranium mining, mountaintop removal, toxic waste dumps, fracking issues, things like that. And this is happening all over the country. This is just one of the bigger ones, you know, but it continues, you know, with tar sands. We had a big win for that we put that off for a while, but that don't mean it's over. I mean, they've already built part of the pipeline, and it's leaked 12 times. And, you know, they're going to go right over the top of drinking water? I mean, are you serious? It doesn't make
any
sense.
Are you serious? Yes.
You know?
So draw the
big picture. The big picture here is that we have got to move this into the same arena that the civil rights of the 60s came in, where we have people taking to the streets in a large way. Now, you can say that part of that has already been taken care of with the Occupy movement, but look how they're trying to slaughter the Occupy movement. Look how they're trying to break up the people of the Occupy movement, and all they're doing is exercising their right to freely assemble. So if you're sitting there on your couch and you're watching them walk down a row of people that are just sitting, exercising their right that our forefathers, all of our forefathers everywhere have always fought and for people to be free and bled for, the blood that's in this earth belongs to us. You know, we're the people that built the monuments and the mountains belong to us and the streams belong to us, and you're watching them spray these children down the line with pepper spray in their face for exercising their rights, and you're not getting up on your feet. You're not going to your phone, or you're not going somewhere and trying to make things different, then you're just as guilty, and you ought to be damned ashamed of yourself. I ain't nobody's hero. All we ever did was say that people have a right to breathe, and people have a right to swim, and people have a right to, you know, have a good life and a healthy life. That's no more or no less than should be said. You understand? So,
I do.
Anyway, you got me all up and moving. But the point is,
good for you. Good for you.
The people of the Gulf are in a bad shape, and it's really difficult to get the word out. So I just appreciate that you let us do this. Operation People for Peace is doing some great work. Gulf Change is the group that we work with, and we work with everybody. So, you know, we're in collaboration with them, and also we have Gulf Restoration Network. Louisiana Environmental Action Network's doing great, excellent work with the people that are sick, and Bridge of the Gulf is doing a great job about getting information out, and Gulf Coast Fund's working with over 200 organizations. You know, so we have a great army. What we don't have at this point is the resources, I can see, that we would need to move forward, you know, and I think that's coming. You know, we're talking a lot with the Occupy groups and about how we can build that bridge, and with the mountaintop removal people and the uranium mining people, and I mean the day is coming when people are going to stand up and accept their value and claim their rights, you know. But
I think the day is here. I do think the day is here. I have my family has gotten involved. We do it every day on the radio now just to put solidarity out. I have to stay home and make a living, but it doesn't mean I have to stay inactive, and that's what
exactly.
I can do. Everybody is looking for a place to make their contribution that I know that are conscious and bringing that consciousness to bear.
Isn't that a glorious thing that we live in this day and age that we were born? I mean, I know that there's people out there that can hear the sound of my voice, and they're thinking back over their life when they were a child and they stood up to injustice. That they don't realize, but I believe that the universe has been training us in some way for this day to reclaim our rights and to reclaim our true selves. And to evolve in some way, you know, into what we were supposed to be. And I think that we've all been brought together to this point for that very reason. And the sad part is we are going to lose some people. I mean, here in the Gulf, and it breaks my heart, but some of these people I'm talking to now, and I'm getting their stories on their deathbed, they won't be here to fight this war, but they will not die in vain. Because myself and people like you and the people that are awake out there, we will make sure that it happens. And there's always sacrifices. The poor lady, the 80-year-old that got sprayed in the face, God bless her.
Oh, my gosh.
It takes things like that to wake people up. You know, that's a part of it. And
it absolutely does. I agree with you.
When I was on the walk, one of the things I realized, I was reading a lot and stuff, and I realized that, you know, there comes a point where you have to say, you know, I give myself to you. And that really, if that place comes from love and not a place of ego, and you really give yourself of service to not just your country, but to the world globally and to humanity, first of all, it opens up your spirit in a way that is a freedom that you don't mind. You don't mind, you know, losing your everyday civil rights. You go to jail or whatever, because you know that what you're doing is the right thing. And that sort of freedom can't be bought anywhere but in service, you know. And I think
a large amount
of people are learning that. And I think that more and more people are standing up, not just for the Gulf, you know, around the country, for the world.
It's a global occupation, if you will, but it's not a revolution.
Absolutely.
It's an evolution. We're evolving.
Absolutely.
We're being invited to evolve. It's either that or your children's children won't have a home to be on. You know, my nephew's children will not. So it is the time, it's the place, and it is a cosmic moment. You're quite right. I agree with you 100% on that. I haven't gotten my call-ins yet from the other crowd. I don't know if they're on the right day or not, but I'm awfully glad to get you in here and have you give us an update on what's going on. As I was saying about accountability, and I wanted to ask you, how I know you're working with Occupy groups too. How is that going?
Well, I think it depends on which Occupy group you're talking to. I'd heard rumors that Occupy New Orleans is about to be evicted. I heard that they're expecting it to come down either Tuesday or Wednesday. They're not sure, but they know something's about to go down. And then Occupy Baton Rouge is starting their occupation on Black Friday, right after Thanksgiving. So they're going to be hitting it at that time, which is awesome. And then Occupy Lafayette, which is another group that I work with often, they're just in their first phases of getting things together and organizing. So everybody's kind of at different levels. And I've been to, I can't even tell you how many Occupies to speak at this point. And I'm amazed by these people. Like, you know, all this stuff that you hear on the news about, you know, that a lot of them have jobs. They come in after work. Now, I'm not saying
everything's
perfect, but democracy's not pretty. I mean, that's the truth of it. But you know, so you're going to have disagreements. You're going to have questions, but it's that free and open banter that makes democracy beautiful in itself. And I think that the movement's growing. I think it's big. I support them in any way that I can. Of course, I can't live with them. I got six kids and, you know, a family to raise.
Oh, yeah.
But God knows if I could, I'd be out there. Besides the fact I'm running the golf every day, you know. But I totally support them, and I know that they support us from the beginning. The very first thing that they put out from Occupy Wall Street brought up oil spills and the cover-up behind oil spills. So I know that they understand how this particular corporation, BP, has really pulled a number over on the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
That they really have the Coast Guard and the government in their back pocket at this point.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Oh, yeah. It's part of the issue agenda because it's part of saving the earth, you know. They're addressing exactly what they should be addressing. They're following the money because the money is the only thing that these, if you would excuse me, these bastards in Washington will listen to or look at is the money, where the money goes, where the money's coming from, and what we say or do in any kind of large group about the money.
Well, and that makes it easy, doesn't it? Because if we really pay attention to where we put our money and what we do with our money, and you can include your vote in that, if you really realize the power that we have with those two particular things, it's really easy to, you know, to I don't want to say get over on them, but for sure make them want to do the right thing. I mean, you walk in there and you tell them, I have 10,000 people right now that are going to, you know, they're going to be at your back door if you do this or that, or if you don't do this or that. Then they start listening. They don't listen otherwise. They don't care. You know?
You walk into Bank
of America with 10,000 people and you say, and I'm just throwing Bank of America out there, with 10,000 people and you draw your money out, then you start getting a little, wait a minute. And they'll start changing policy.
Yeah, I've been involved in one little one of those here locally, but I have to tell you, I think it was like, I don't know how many thousand people they got into a lobby of a Wells Fargo, I think it was, out on the West Coast. They all got arrested, of course, but a majority of those people were standing at the tellers closing accounts, too. So, I mean, it's immense what is going on right now, and of course, for every pepper sprayed person in the movement, for every person that comes walking away bloody and and beaten or brutalized by the police, that many people stand up and walk out and get in front of the cops with Occupy. They are
right.
The best recruiting tool, unfortunately, but it's the same way that Martin Luther King did it. You know, he recruited by he would strategize, you know, and put himself in harm's way so that people would see, this is what we're up against, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's
true.
That's the bummer of it. It takes a sacrifice, but it's worth it. And without people like that, you know, that are willing to do that, I mean, there's no hope. I mean, my heart swells when I think about these people that are standing up at this point. And, I mean, it's no less daunting and no less powerful for someone to stand in front of and be pepper sprayed in the face than it is for someone to stand in front of a tank in Tiananmen Square. It's the same love. I mean, it's all about love.
Yeah,
it takes
great courage. It takes great courage to stand up. On Thursday, all those people going across Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
New York. Yeah.
And I got to think that the found, you know, the founding fathers were like, yeah. Man, you think about it. All the how many people signed the Declaration of Independence? Like 56 people. I mean, they made a whole other country using only 10% of the population that was in agreement. We don't need everybody. We just need enough people to stand up and raise a little hell that they make some changes for everybody. When I was walking through Alabama, I went through Tuskegee, Alabama, and hopefully you know the story. If you don't, go look up the story of Tuskegee, Alabama. But I talked to the mayor,
yeah.
Mr. Omar. And he told me the most astounding thing I think I've ever heard in all this. And he said that most of the people that you're trying to save will not participate in their own savings. And I was like,
yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. But he's absolutely right. We don't have to have everybody awake. You know, you don't have to take the time to argue with one person. It's about winning the hearts and minds of the masses, of the larger group. So I think as long as you have dignity, you speak the truth, you know, then that's going to always ring true. But don't feel like because you have a few jackasses out there standing up and saying, well, you're just trying to do this or you're just trying to do that or you're just trying to get famous or you're just trying to get money or you just need to get off the couch and get a job or blah, 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 that doesn't mean that you're not reaching people and that you're changing lives in ways that you have no idea about. And that's what the people in Occupy understand. Is that if Occupy ended today, they would be responsible for waking up millions of people to this corporate corruption and to the fact that most of a lot of our civil rights have been just walked on. I mean, if it ended today and nothing else came of it, you have done miraculous things. And I feel like a lot of people that are activists that work in the Gulf, that they're the same thing. It's really sad when you go to a home and you see both the kids are sick. And the mama, the grandma's sick, and the crabbers, they're not going to have no money. And you walk out of there feeling like, is anything I'm doing changing anything? But also,
I hear
at the
same
time, they grab you by the arm as you're walking out, and they say, you know, I really contemplated suicide not too long ago. And it's just the idea that I saw you standing up makes me want to stand up too. Not to people I'm talking about today, but I'm just saying that has happened to me before.
Yes.
And that's enough, I think,
I hear you.
To keep you propelled to move forward, you know?
It does. We have another caller.
It's about those kids.
It is, Sheree. It is.
Yeah.
We do have another caller online. Who's online? Hello? 985.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello.
Reverend Jones. Hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, Reverend Jones. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am, I can. Hi, Sheree.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, and you?
I'm great.
So, have you been listening to our conversation, Reverend Jones?
I kind of just got on at like the 425. I just got on at 425, but I heard most of the end of it.
And what do you have to complement the information we're putting out here, sir? Sheree is really giving us a lot of not just information. She's telling us what is going on. Can you give us your end of it?
Okay. First of all, from the maybe the last year that I've been working with them, I got to really say wow for the effort that she and Organization for People have really put into this Occupy Earth and this BP All Spill. They're doing a tremendous job because, to be honest with you, if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't even be in this thing like I'm in it now. But with their visions and what they're doing now, all I still can say is wow, because as soon as you think they're going to let the issue die, Feinberg is going to say, okay, it's not important, the Keystone Pipeline, President Barack going to say we're going to move on, that's when Organization for People just pop right back up. It's not going down like that. So I got to reprimand them on the job that they're doing and the efforts that they're putting in.
Wonderful. Thank you. It's appreciated. Can you tell us, can both of you explain a little bit about how you've been working together and Operation People for Peace? I've read
some
great
things. Well, I preach to people from the beginning, and this Reverend Rocker probably do a better job explaining this, but from the beginning, Kenneth Feinberg had come to them and said, you know, come to the reverends, actually, and said, I remember him saying this. He said that if your pastor or priest had said that you went fishing for a living, that's really all you would need was a letter from them. And for what Reverend Rocker told me was Kenneth Feinberg came to them and said, you know, sign these affidavits for people, and we'll get them paid. And so they have 10,000 claimants that they signed affidavits for, and the people haven't been paid. Like, unless you have political power or you already had money, you're not getting your claim paid.
Oh my gosh! How are you proceeding forward to get accountability here?
Oh, Judy's gone.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna go back to the question because I haven't been with Dr. Rocker since day one, but I know when he looked out and there was a mass crowd of us, maybe 300 of us, I mean preachers from all across the Gulf Coast state and some hotel owners, some lawyers, we all had gathered at the Winter Hotel, and Mr. Feinberg himself came down. He was in New Orleans, and he came up to the floor where we were, and he came in. He walked in the room, and he looked out. He said, I'm going to pay all the claims off, but what I need help. I need the pastors. I need the leaders to vouch for these people. I need you to go out and sign claim forms, get new claim forms, and bring them back to me. And once y'all do that, I'm going to pay them off. Give me 2 weeks. I'm going to pay these people off. Now, this was last year around this time we were told this, because he promised right before Christmas, I'm going to make sure every claim has a check in their hand before Christmas. And it's kind of been a year, and we're still hearing the same story. Mr. Kenny Feinberg is still singing the same song to the Gulf Coast State, to all these people that were affected by this oil spill. He's still singing that same song to us today.
Oh, my gosh. So basically it's you're getting a runaround, and every time you come back up for accountability to Feinberg, he's just giving you a new runaround?
It's not really a new runaround. He's singing the same song. Maybe I believe Mr. Feinberg believed that if he keep telling us we're gonna see checks in a matter of days, he's gonna try to make us whole. I believe Mr. Feinberg believed that we're just gonna sit back and just wait on 8 years to pass and say Mr. Feinberg is gonna come through. Everybody keeps the faith. Well, right now we really don't have time, because time is of the essence for our people. We have bills due. We have hospital bills due. Our people are struggling, and Mr. Feinberg is sitting back on cloud nine looking down saying all is well.
So basically, there's really no movement. There's no action. It's all just lip service. And in the meantime, the Gulf States residents are and of course, they're losing their homes. They're going through economic, you know, downfall. But basically, too, their health is at grave risk now, and they have nothing to reach to, no one reaching out to them. Is this a clear picture I'm painting here?
Oh,
I think so. I was going to say, Kenneth Feinberg said in the beginning that he was going to take care of this or that, and he has not paid yet. He'll sit there and tell you, we've paid out, you know, however many millions of dollars that it is, but they have not paid one health claim, not one. Not one. He said that we have to draw a line between the oil spill and the claim itself. National Institute of Health told us there's no possible way to do that because they don't have the testing that would be required to do that. So basically we're just kind of in a circle. Now, he said he was going to go and look at three different independent, supposedly, and that's my editorial, supposedly, three different health experts, and that they were going to get back to us. He said that he would have that information in 2 weeks. That was a month ago. We still have not heard a name of any of those people. We still have not been able to put our own independent, and we have doctors here now that are helping us out, And I mean, they're overwhelmed at this point. This is becoming a health crisis. But he still has not paid any of those claims. Also, substance claims. As far as I know, there's only been two substance claims. And what that means is, if you live in the Gulf, especially in really the deep South, you go out your back door and you go crabbing and fishing and you get shrimp out there, and that's at least maybe even more 25% of the grocery you bring home. Well, now you can't do that, and especially during the big part of the spill, you couldn't do that. But I wouldn't advise it now even. And he said he was going to pay off on that. He hasn't paid but two that I know of.
I think we have Anita Stewart on the line now. Anita, I know you've been holding. That's you, isn't it? You?
Yes, me. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Anita.
Hi.
Hi.
And we do have one other caller coming in, and I can take these callers. So I'm going to ask you all to speak in a round table here. Yes, caller 985-413-0024. I've opened up your line. Who am I speaking with?
This is Pastor Ronald Harvin of the Shekinah Glory Christian Fellowship Church in St. James, Louisiana. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Pastor?
I am doing well. Somewhat frustrated, but yet I'm doing well.
Okay, I don't have your name on the lineup here, but I'm also glad you called in. Is there something that you wanted to contribute here to our conversation and to the awareness we're trying to raise?
Well, basically what I'm calling for is concerning Mr. Kenneth Feinberg and the oil spill here in Southwest Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
Am I off cue, or is this a
You're not off cue. We have a roundtable discussion going on, so if you can capsulize what you have to say and put it on the table, be appreciated.
Well. Okay, fine. Basically, what I have to say is I personally have met with Mr. Kenneth Feinberg along with a group of ministers that represent our area, and we've met with him six consecutive times. Mr. Feinberg informed us when we went to him, we were representing the underserved, the poor, people of our community, who were kind of off the radar as it relates to paying taxes and things of that nature. Because when you were filing claims, you had to have so many check stubs, you had to have tax returns, and we all know that there are many people that work but they don't work under that umbrella. And we represent those individuals. And when we went to Mr. Feinberg, we asked him, well, what do you do about the people who, are not getting a paycheck, but yet they were affected by this spill? He said to get the claims. And we asked him what would be the criteria. And he said that then if they did not have a W-2, that the pastor, I said that if they're a member of churches, that the pastor would be able to sign on that claim as long as they had sufficient documents stating that they did work and that pastors would be able to sign for them.
And this is what Reverend Jones has been telling us, correct, Reverend Jones?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, Pastor, go ahead, sir.
And so, basically, we did that. And in doing that, a large number of claims have been applied. Mr. Feinberg, after viewing the claims, he decided that he would change the game plan. No, he couldn't accept that. But we received these claims based on his stipulation. He was the one that set the criteria for us getting the claims in the beginning. We had no reason going out there to even get claims had not Mr. Feinberg instructed us to do so. And so, the problem is, here it is, you know, over a year later, and we're still fooling with the same thing, you know, he won't write the check. And basically, it's making the pastors look as if that, you know, we just went out there and got a bunch of claims on our own, you know, but we were instructed by Kenneth Feinberg. He was the one that told us to go out and get the claims, and that as pastors, as clergymen, that he would be able to that our word and our signature would be able to stand for the poor and the unprivileged. And the man did not keep his word. He lied.
I understand what you're saying. Yes, sir. We have another caller onto the round table here. Phone number 262-1368. Who's on the line?
This
Hello?
Is Pastor Tommy Jones.
Hello, Pastor Jones. How are you today? Now, you are not Pastor Reverend Telvin Jones is online with us. You're Reverend Tommy
P.R.
Jones.
Yes?
Yes. P.R. Jones. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What do you have to tell us about this situation?
Well, I'm in agreement with the brethren.
Yes.
Believe that we have a problem with the individual that BP hired to orchestrate this whole matter. And, you know, if you check his resume, this wasn't the first assignment he was given to settle a major catastrophe.
Yes, I'm aware. Yes.
He was assigned to do that. And the only reason you would be assigned to settle matters of this magnitude is if you're capable of implementing something that's as feasible as possible to represent the person that you're working for. And I think I take my hat off to him. He's done an excellent job and what he's done. My problem is that we still have people suffering on the Gulf Coast. And I'm grateful to have the opportunity to work with Dr. Rocker and these clergymen that are on the phone at this time. And trying to come together to stand in the gap for those that are underprivileged, those that don't have the resources to do anything for themselves. But I just want to say this, and I said it earlier, being that I've had the education and the experience working in the oil field, I said it earlier, this all could have been avoided. Had it not been for greed, if you go back and check the records, you'll find out that warnings were sent out to avoid this disaster from happening. The higher-ups didn't take the warnings, and we know the story from there. But this is the situation. Anytime there's downtime on a drilling rig, there's always a great loss of money. And so every major oil company in the world, or every company that's doing any drilling procedures are going to do everything that they can to avoid downtime because millions of dollars accumulate in a hurry like. So they took a shortcut. They made the choice to do it. And they're negligent for this great oil spill. And now we've got people on the Gulf Coast suffering, people that can't get a job. They're doing everything that they can. And we're coming to BP and Feinberg with a heart of meekness, saying all we're asking you to do is compensate people for their loss, and just be fair. Just like the other brother said, it's not turning around; it's lying. A lie is a lie. Some people say a little lie, a white lie, a blue lie. A lie is a lie. So he's been lying, and so we're hoping that he'll be, he'll have a heart, you know, to recognize that there's people that's suffering, people with children that need to eat and sleep and be taken care of. There's people that's been hurt financially, physically, mentally, and spiritually behind this whole thing. And I say this, you know, when I looked at the whole program, I compared it to a drug deal that went bad. And any time a drug dealer get caught and he's put some money aside, he hired the best lawyer he can to defend him. And anybody that's got the money is going to hire the best to defend them. And I can honestly say he's done a good job in representing BP. A poor job in representing the people. You know,
well,
and I want to say this.
I think that's the point, yeah.
I believe that, you know, those that can afford it, they get the less punishment. Those that can't afford it get the most punishment. And now, you know, we can see that BP, here it is a year and 7 months later, and they either are already drilling in the Gulf or they soon will be drilling in the Gulf. But you got people that were hurt then, they still hurting now, and about next year this time, if somebody don't stand up and take the blame of making them accountable, people still going to be suffering for years to come while they're back in the Gulf making billions and billions of dollars. And so, you know, another thing that frustrates me is recently we've been finding out that we've got politicians that we trusted and voted for, and these guys have been, you know, the rug has been pulled from over them, allegedly for taking money that wasn't supposed to be given to them. All right, so now we got people that's going to be prosecuted, probably sent home, but you got people that's being persecuted and can't leave home. So I got a problem with this whole situation, and I just want Feinberg to know this time, I don't know about the last time and the time before, but this time we ain't going nowhere. Somebody's going to be accountable.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Cherie, are you still with us?
I am. I think Reverend Jones brought up a really good point. He was talking about the work that Feinberg had done in the past. You know, he did the Agent Orange payout, and he also did the 9/11 first responder payout, something that doesn't get mentioned very often. And we have a great advocate here in the Gulf Coast called Monique Cardin and also Natalie Wood, and they're human rights advocates. And what they did is they looked back at Feinberg and what he had done with these other groups, and he actually paid the people that were affected with toxins in those two instances just for being in the area of these toxins. But when it comes down here to the Gulf and the BP incident, he's requiring that we show proof that the toxins had affected our health. Now, the only difference between the Agent Orange and 9/11 and us is that in this case, he's representing a corporation and not the government. You know, so a corporation is designed to save money and to make profit, and they put that profit over the lives of people. We saw that from the second the well blew up when we lost 11 out there. You know, that they weren't taken into account. And have
not at all,
including the 17 that were injured. So I think that's a great point. That why isn't he doing the same thing for us that he did in those last two instances?
It seems a little self-revealing that, you know, why so many people are up on their feet, and we need to get more up on their feet about all of this, and that is that the government is more corporation than it is government for the people and by the people. The government has not helped here with BP from get-go, as far as I can tell. It's been all about the Coast Guard taking orders from BP, lying about what actually happened, and then when it's uncovered, backpedaling. And that's our government. It's not the corporations. The corporations are going to say anything they can to make it not about them and to get more profits down. Heck, they're out there drilling again. They just got handed a new oil lease by this White House. So, I mean, and all of these good pastors have been there for their congregations, and they've gone and they've gotten and followed the rules that Feinberg gave them. And the congregations of these pastors and reverends took hope in what their pastors were doing for them, and now Feinberg is saying is turning his back on them. Am I capturing that correctly?
Correct.
Holy gosh. Now, Cherie, operation, and gentlemen, are you all involved with Pastor or Reverend Rocker and the Operation of People for Peace group?
Yeah, correct.
Exactly. We all are.
We collaborate with Operation People for Peace. We're Gulf Change, but we work with anybody that's on the side of justice for all people.
Yeah.
And so we're proud to do so. We're proud to team up with them and partner with them at any opportunity we can. Just really great folks, really smart folks. And I'm honored to get a chance to speak with them. I met with many of the reverends up in D.C. actually last week or was week four, I can't even remember. But we all went up there and we protested outside Feinberg's offices there in D.C. And I mean, it was fun.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everybody did. Everybody was great. We went. We had 12,000 people at the Keystone Pipeline protest. The next day,
yeah.
We had, nearly 200 at outside of Feinberg's offices. And the Occupy people came down and joined us from D.C. And you know, he knew we were there. He had to, you know, he had to say. And you know, he said, "Well, we're looking at every claim." That was the comeback that came from him. But is Anita still online?
I'm here.
Yeah. You might want to talk to her a little bit, too. She's got some great information about it. She's been working a lot with the people that have been ill, and she's all the way over there in Florida, which I think doesn't, you know, when people think about the spill, they very often think about Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama beaches, of course, but Florida saw some damage there, too. So
Absolutely. Anita, can you fill us in?
Well, I think what's most important is that Florida's different than the other states that were affected. I think the most important thing to remember is we don't have industry here per se. Our industry is the tourist industry to the
right.
tune of $65 billion a year, and it's probably gone up since then. Since the Gulf oil gusher happened, I'm pretty well aware after talking to people that have worked in marinas and different people that are involved in the tourism industry right here that everybody knows the deal. Everybody knows what's going on, but they won't speak about it. They won't verbalize it because they're afraid it'll affect their bottom line. I guess all of you have seen the most recent picture of the shrimp with no eyes. Well, you know, the tourists are back here. Most of them are from up north. I'm seeing the license tags change, more people shopping, more people on the roads. So I don't know if the tourism has slacked off this year, but it doesn't look like it. And you'll pass a restaurant like Red Lobster, and the parking lot is packed. And people are still eating the seafood. And the BP ads run continuously here now.
Yes.
They run on
the
radio.
Do.
They run on television. And come down to our beaches. We didn't get oil here. You know, it's all such a lie. I think Sherry remembers and Gwen remembers. I'm not sure if the pastors know about this. But we had a test done here on Sarasota Beach. It was a simple sand sample that was done in September of 2010. And it was pretty far up from the water line where the sand was taken. It was 173 parts per million. And we had that test fingerprint matched. And it came back as the same oil from the Macondo well. So we know that it hit our beaches, but nobody wants to talk about it. The media won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. And, you know, the tourism hasn't changed much from what I can see. People are still coming down, and the media, this is what blows my mind, is that this many people, the masses, can be brainwashed to such an effect that once the oil well was capped, the whole situation was over. This is like mass mind control. I've never seen anything like it. And it seems like this can be done at a whim. And somebody else made this comment to me. They said, you know, they don't call it programs for nothing. News programs, you know, educational
yeah.
programs. This
yeah.
is like mass mind control / programming. I can't think of any other term to put on it. So,
well,
can I
step in, Gwen?
Yes. Yes, please.
This is Reverend Jones, Tommy Jones. I just wanted to throw this nugget in so that folk would at least have this little bit information. Now, I'm not a chemist. My background is in petroleum engineering, but most folk don't realize that oil, which is basically hydrocarbons, has hundreds of byproducts. One of the byproducts of hydrocarbons is called benzene. Benzene is a known cancer-causing agent. Even when you stand at a gas pump and pump gas into your car, you're exposed to benzene. You should always turn your face away from your gas pump when you're pumping gas into your car. Benzene will cause leukemia today as I speak. Now, if you go back and look at the records to find out the billions of gallons of oil that was spilled into the Gulf of Mexico, and you've got everything from benzene to octane, propane, nectane, I mean just all the tanks that the byproducts of petroleum, hydrocarbons, this stuff was submerged by chemicals that was dumped out there to make the oil go down to the bottom of the ocean. Well, guess what? All of these byproducts of the hydrocarbons went down there too. If it's going to hurt humans, naturally it's going to hurt our seafood. We can't be ignorant to that fact. So I'm just saying that, you know, I think we need to educate our people, and we may not see the results. I heard y'all saying about tourism and all of this and people still buying seafood. We won't know the effects of eating this seafood for years to come. And then all of a sudden, we're going to get slapped in the face. Bam. People dying from leukemia, different cancers and all of this, and we're wondering what's going on. People get AIDS, and it doesn't manifest for 10 years. You can have all kind of things happening right now with people that we won't get the full manifestation for years to come. So I think we need to keep that in mind.
Yes, well, that's one of the reasons that when dealing with Mr. Feinberg, he's representing more of BP than you, and he's doing it so that when all of these things that happen to people and the environment happen in the future, BP cannot be held liable for it. Cherie, are you thinking that I have a point here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I loved what you were saying about the issues as far as health. I mean, we have those health effects now, and it's only going to get worse. But we absolutely have to hold the responsible parties responsible, and not just in name, but, you know, really, somebody needs to come in and remind Kenneth Feinberg that he was supposed to be independent, meaning working for, you know, the people as well as BP to reach some kind of fair, collaborative effect of justice, you know. I don't foresee that happening anytime soon. I don't foresee that until we get a large portion of people on the ground that are really within. Operation People for Peace has been great about that. Get people there that are willing to for their rights and say we're valuable enough, we deserve to be paid, and our health must be taken care of. Without that, it's not going to happen. It's just not.
I just got one. If you'll let me make one more statement, I'll be finished. I'm done with it. But
yes,
let me
sir.
Ask you a question, Ms. Gwen. If I was writing you a $1 million check per month, whose side would you be on? And I'm through with that. I'm done. That's it. Whose side would you be on?
I walk with spirit. I walk with spirit, okay. So I would take into consideration what that was really costing me on all levels. And I think that your question is fabulous. It really brings the issue up. But I think, like Cherie and I were saying at the very beginning of this show, people are beginning to not look at the $1 million, but the cost of what taking that $1 million has done to their community.
You know, as a licensed medical professional myself, I mean, I'm not a nurse or anything, but, you know, it doesn't take me too long to figure things out. I'm just anticipating that it takes 5 years to 10 years for leukemia to incubate in the body. So I can guarantee you that we are going to start seeing spikes in leukemia all up and down the Gulf region, whatever state was affected, because it can't not happen with the exposure to benzene and everything else that's going on. We have an independent nurse that's researching right now, and she says there's certain areas of Florida and the other states where people are coughing up blood regularly and animals are dropping dead in the streets. So
that's
bad. I mean, I can't really say what areas she's in right now. She's doing independent research, but I want her to remain protected. I'm going to leave her name out of this, but I do know her, and I know that the work that she's done is pretty incredible. And I give her all props for that. So, but I'll let that just go to the side there. But in any case, that's what's going to happen: is all these health issues are going to start spiking, and the doctors and the nurses and all the other healthcare professionals that aren't aware of what's going on are going to They're going to explain this away. They're going to re-symptomize it. They're going to say that it has nothing to do with the Gulf oil spill.
I think that it's too connective. I think that it's too vast. It's such a huge, both the Reverends and Cherie, you all have been in on the horrible end of this with picking up the slack for what has been left in your laps with huge amounts of unemployment and the sickness that is now just overlapping everywhere. All of that going on, and yet it's not as if everybody doesn't know. A lot of people know, and more people know. So I don't think that when these cancer clusters begin to manifest, there's going to be any question, because people like Brockovich have gone and made, you know, precedents of how these clusters begin and what happens when they go undetected. And it is the cancer that comes up in the clusters. Cherie, Reverend Jones, are you still with us?
Yes, ma'am.
I want to thank you both, and Anita, I want to thank you all for the job that you're doing, the time you put in, the heart you have for it, and everything you're doing to work with people. I mean, I hope once a day somebody tells you what a good job you're doing, all of you, all three of you.
Oh, thank you.
We do have another caller. I'm going to open it up for a few minutes to see who this is. It could be Reverend Rocker. I'm not quite sure. This is 337 area code. Who is this, please?
This is Real Reverend T.R. Jones. I just switched to another phone.
Oh, okay, Reverend Jones. All righty. And that includes you. I want to thank you all for the job you're doing. And the pastors who are, and Cherie, you're out there with people all the time. And you have to be doing your share of comforting and guiding folks. I mean, it takes a lot, and it takes a lot of courage for anyone to address this situation as far as coming in to stand up and protest like so many are choosing to do right now. I think there's more hope than there has been in a long time.
Yeah, I think so, too, but I have to say, I mean, when I think of courage or bravery, when you say words like that, I really have to think about the people that live right on the water in the coast and on the coast and are just kind of stuck and watching their kids get sick, and they keep getting up every day and going out there and trying to make a living, you know, doing the things that they've done their entire life and coming up short and still getting that better. I mean, that's right there.
Right,
that's,
you are.
That's really where my heart lies, is with the people that are being affected, and whatever that means to help make them whole. I'm in it to win it, and I think that the reverends are too, and I just feel so proud to have the opportunity to be a part of it.
I really appreciate all of you being with me today. It's really been a great show. I hope you'll think about coming back and speaking again on this topic and bringing up more awareness. Both Reverend Jones, I think I have two Reverend Jones, both Reverend Pastor Jones and Reverend Jones, thank you for being here with us. I hope you will come back. Anita, I know you will.
Can I make just one quick point to add on to what Sherry said? It's real easy for people to say those people can leave the area. They need to leave for their own health. But no, it's not easy. These people don't have money. Sometimes they're sick already and they can't leave, or you know, the single mothers have no jobs. So it's real easy to say get out of harm's way, but when you're in that situation, there's a lot of reasons why you can't. So I wanted to make sure that was a point made.
Thank you. That is a good point. And Cherie, what you had to say about courage, you're absolutely right on. You're absolutely right on. I want to thank you all, as I said, for being with me. Does anybody have one other thing to say before we close it off?
I would like to say something, Ms. Gwen, if that's just in case that any representative of BP or Mr. Feinberg himself that's listening, all we want Mr. Feinberg to do is stop lying and fulfill his promises.
There you go. Amen. There you go. Thank you.
Y'all have a good night.
You too, Anita. Sherry, thank you very much for being on as
thank
usual.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Happy Thanksgiving to you all. We all do need to count our blessings. That's the one thing we can do this year. I'm going to go off with a little bit of music here, something hopeful that I was turned on to recently. I think you'll all enjoy this. It's just a little song, but it's about hope.
folks, that was Pink Martini and Hang On Little Tomato. Wonderful little song. You are listening to, you have been listening to Here Be Monsters, and we're one of a drumline of small radio shows boycotting the MSM and providing people with an alternative media choice, speaking truth to power. Our guest today I did not get their information out there, and on the tail end, I'd like you to remember that it was Operation People for Peace. You can find them by just Googling them. And Cherie Foytlin of Gulf Change and all kinds of Gulf projects. You will remember Cherie as the lady who actually invited the president to come and see what was going on the first time. So, as I said at the beginning, too, in this sign-off, I'd like you to remember that we at Here Be Monsters are Egyptians today. I am of Egypt. There, when we started this show, the death count in Tahrir Square was 37. I don't know what it is now, and I really don't care to know, but it's going to come up. So, everybody, have a great holiday week. Tomorrow you have Dusty Taylor, Left Wing Nut Job. And remember, this program has been sponsored by RoundTreeNumber7.com. Thank you.